Hi, everybody. My name is Manoj Ramrani. I'm the founder and CEO at Sales Intel, your host today for the Pipeline Pioneers, a show that Sales Intel, we have designed to help the community learn from each other, learn from the practitioners, from the experts, from the thought leaders in the B2B space with a single mission as to how to generate the most optimal pipeline for your business. As we know, pipeline is the heart blood of any organization, and generating pipeline, we believe, is a team sport. It's not just the responsibility of sales team or the BDR team or the marketing. It truly takes a village to come together to build a pipeline that ultimately converts into revenue. Today, I am excited to have Lindsay from Goldcast. Lindsay, welcome to the show.
Thank you. So excited to join you today. It's been a great show so far, and hopefully I'm going to be adding some value today to it too.
Thank you. Thank you. So to kick things off, Lindsay, why don't you tell the audience about yourself, your role, and in your role, how do you help influence the pipeline generation for your business?
Yeah, I work at Goldcast. We are a B2B digital events platform specifically built for B2B marketers. So it's kind of nice for me that I get to market really to my own persona, especially now that our platform is expanding outside of events. We're also now moving into a kind of video production software. We have an AI tool called Content Lab. You can easily clip up videos, create videos, take videos into text and transcripts and the whole kit and caboodle. I've actually been there not even a year yet. I joined last June. So coming up, I guess, to a year there. What we focus on mostly is being able to help organizations maximize their digital events, whether it's a single webinar, a full summit or conference, an ongoing series, anything that's, you know, a digital event that a B2B marketer might run to then, like you said, fill their pipeline. And in my day-to-day role, I really contribute a ton into our pipeline because not only am I overseeing all of our content, I'm also overseeing all of our campaigns. And for us, because, you know, no surprise probably to anyone, because we are an events platform, I like to say that we are a video first strategy that is event led. So a lot of our major campaigns are going to be focused around on large scale events. And how I roll into that is I'm the one who's doing it from the inception of the idea or what we're going to be focusing on, all the way to the execution, the post event follow up and marketing, the crafting of any content coming from that event. And so all of that then definitely contributes down into that pipeline. For instance, our AI summit, which was our big summit we ran in October of last year, was actually one of our top revenue generating events for the entire year at that point. So definitely plays a big role in getting the right people in the door at the right time to get ready to talk to us and buy our product. But it's also that kind of even out of, they're also brand plays and getting us in front of our audiences, you know, that 95 versus 5% of who's in market and who's not. And then also it's drinking our own champagne, right? If we're an event-led organization, we're going to be able to use our events platform to do that. So it's almost like I'm getting to do all these demos for people and they might not even know it. So it's a lot of fun. Definitely a lot of learning, but a lot of fun.
That's awesome. So you're drinking your own champagne to build the pipeline, right, for the business. That's amazing. I love it. So Lindsay, last year was tough for lots of companies, right? Companies didn't hit their revenue numbers. Pipelines were just not there. Macroeconomic conditions made it worse. So the pipelines that were there didn't close in time. And we all made a lot of mistakes. When you look back at 2023, is there something that jumps out that, wow, I wish, gosh, I had done things differently? And what's the learning from that?
Yeah, so probably a few things I could go down, but the one that comes up like immediately in my mind is we did a website overhaul project, but we did it way too late in the year. And I think it's one of those things where we knew how much time and effort and strategy and just so much goes into when you do a website overhaul. I've actually been lucky enough to do one at every single org I've ever worked at. So I at least have been around the block a little bit. But when I think about last year, and of course I came in June. So I obviously didn't have impact before June. But when I think about last year, I wish that we had prioritized that project higher up our list. And it's hard because, like you said, last year was incredibly difficult, incredibly hard. There are a lot of things happening all at once. And so your priority list is going to be really like those things that are those easy levers of getting those pipelines, getting those demos, getting people in the door. And I think sometimes we forget how important our website is to that, right? We think that we've built it, it's good, it's working fine, it's running fine. You know, it's a nice to have update and maybe not a must to have update. And when I look back and think about it, we had a few challenges that really were like the perfect storm. And if we had only done this project earlier, I think we could have seen a lot more of the good results we saw once we finally did it. But we just dragged our feet and kept kind of putting it off or, you know, prioritizing other things over it. But once we finally did go through and go through this project, and the things that contribute is, you know, we are a Series A startup. We're going into our fourth year of business. So it's kind of time to do kind of a brand lift, a brand, not quite a refresh, but kind of like a scaling up. And I've talked about it as like, you know, moving into our teenage years, right? And adapting our brand to that and where our product's going. There was also, we were stuck in a backend tool that was just a nightmare. I won't name what it was, but it was supposed to be easy and simple and accessible to not only our devs, but our marketing team as well. And that was not the case. So we knew we needed to move into a tool that made it easier for us to move fast and scale and do things quickly, especially in the market today. You need to act so quick, especially when you see opportunities and you need to move fast on those. And then the last one is our site just wasn't as mobile responsive as it should have been. It wasn't at the load speeds that we needed for our SEO. And there were a lot of very technical pieces of the backend system we were using that really just damaged our site as a whole. But once we did go through our site migration, once we did do this overhaul, we saw huge gains on conversions. And we also did some tweaking of messaging and pages and cleaning up of, you know, redirects and 401s and broken links and all the things that happen when you do something like that. And I think when I think about last year, it's just, wow, if we had just realized the potential of this project. And, you know the impact of your website, but I think we're just so, I don't know, like settled into our website sometimes that we just don't see the huge opportunity where if you just went in and maybe even did a few tweaks, and we did a huge overhaul of it, but even a few optimizations, a few A-B tests, things like that. Alongside this project, we launched a new homepage and did some A-B testing with some messaging and different visuals, things like that. And we, on one of those A-B tests, saw an 18% boost in our conversions. Wow. So I think when I think about it, it's like, oh, if we had just done that earlier in the year, think about the trickle-down impact. But, you know, we're going in 24 with it, so.
That's great. That's a perfect transition to the next part. 24 is here. New budgets, new initiatives, new experiments. What is one thing that you are excited about that you think is going to have a big impact on your pipeline?
Yeah, again, probably tying it back into our website, because that's really top of mind for me. In my role, really, I oversee a lot of our website content and what's going out the door as far as our digital presence. So continuing to figure out ways to tweak our messaging, to work with product marketing, to figure out how are we changing and adapting to the market. And I kind of, I guess, of the times is, how do we get people to understand that, yes, we have an AI part to our platform and our tool? Our content lab is our AI-powered content studio. But how do we make it so that people don't roll their eyes at us, right? Because everyone's powered by AI now, right? Like, we're just on the bandwagon with everybody. So how do we find the ways to, like I said, bring us into more of our teenage years, level up our brand, look a little bit more established and strong? And I think one thing that was interesting we found when we did this website project was we used to have a ton of animations and graphics and a lot of color on our pages. And it was cool and it made things pop and it was really grabbing. And when you market to marketers, you have to be at that echelon of cool designs and being attractive and keeping eyeballs on your pages. But we actually found with this project and some of the tweaks we made that we might have been diverting attention from where we actually wanted it to go. And when you're talking pipeline and conversions, like that's the last thing you want to do. So I'd be interested to see just doing more of those A/B tests, figuring out what really aligns with our conversion points and what actually helps people get down that funnel easier, get contact with us or get a demo or connect with us or some way engage with us. You know, we have two ongoing series, one called Event Marketers Live and one called Donuts in Demand. And how can we optimize those on our website to get people to sign up for those events? Because that's really how we get people to know our brand. They get in, they see the platform, they engage with our employees, they see thought leaders coming in talking about exactly what our audience is worried about and trying to figure out. So just ways to optimize our website, keep improving it, because the back end piece is already taken care of. We've already seen huge gains in our site speed, in just kind of like our broken link reports, the kind of back end really technical SEO pieces. And now it's just doing the front end work of continuing to optimize. Yes, yes. And awesome. And not letting that go to waste, I guess, in one way. And then a secondary one I'll bring up, because this is kind of, I want to say rare. If you are an org that's having this challenge or gone through this, I'd love to chat. But with our Content Lab tool, which lets you kind of take in videos and use AI to clip it and use it in text and all those kind of things, we now are moving into a product-led growth strategy. But it's interesting because our free trial is really for that Content Lab product. And then you can expand, or you can add or have both in the same time, are also virtual events platform. But that's not really a free trial play there. It's only with our Content Lab. So trying to figure out the balance between the focus on the free trial for our Content Lab tool, and then also our kind of demo go to sales route for our more expanded virtual events platform. So that's a really big challenge, I think, for us this year, of finding the right balance there and the right pathways, and ensuring we're not maybe confusing visitors or having them be like, I don't understand your platform or what you're selling or what you are. So it's been really interesting. You know, we just launched Content Lab in October of last year, so it's still very fresh and new. And the free trial actually just launched, I want to say, in March. I'm on maternity leave though, so I'm a little like out of the loop on it, but it's really fascinating to see how we can kind of balance between a free trial product-led growth kind of strategy and then more of a direct to sales, you know, demo experience. Yep. And most oftentimes I think too, companies, when they have a trial, it's just the singular product and there's not that weird kind of, oh, there's two options here. So finding out how to optimize that will be really interesting.
That's our job, right? As GTM leaders, you know, how to optimize our resources, how to optimize different channels. And that's a perfect segue to our next, exercise. Here is a working exercise, Lindsay, if you see my screen. As we know, growth comes from many channels. Pipeline is built across multiple channels. Here you'll see you have 100 pennies, and your goal is to distribute these 100 pennies across these channels in a way to generate the most optimal pipeline for your business. How will you distribute these channels? How will you distribute these pennies across these channels?
Yes, well, you know, I've thought about this for a while now. And as you can see in my notes, I've actually like gone back and forth on some of my decisions. So
I love it.
And I will also note, you know, all my decisions on this exercise are definitely coming from my perspective of like Goldcast. Like if I was doing my budget for Goldcast, where would I put my pennies? Hopefully it's more than pennies.
Yep.
So first I'm going to put 30, so three total pennies in product-led growth. Like I added, that's huge for us this year, launching our free trial of Content Lab. That's going to be our kind of bread and butter big bet this year, I guess.
Yep.
Next, I'm going to put 10 in community. And this one I struggled with. Well, one penny, I guess, because community is really important to us. And we're going to be really expanding our community this year. We have a community called Event Marketers Club, but as our product and software has evolved, we've realized, you know, we're not just for event marketers, we're for demand gen marketers, we're for content marketers. So this year will definitely be the evolution of our community. I really wanted to give it two, but I had other places I needed to put some pennies. So okay, next we're going to put two in partnerships. And I think this is where I probably flip-flop between whether I wanted two in community or two in partnerships. But With our software and with the virality of our software and the fact that if you're in an event, you're seeing our platform, you're seeing the engagement, you're getting the really front row seat to what it's like to have an event run on our own platform. Our partnerships are crucial to us. And I think we're only going to continue to expand those. And our partnership play isn't like a reseller or that kind of partnership. It's really finding the right marketing communities who we can go into a partnership and then have them use our platform for their events to get in front of their audience. And again, having that moment where they're in the platform, they're seeing all the options there. They're getting that like nice, like feeling and like there's the, you know, powered by Goldcast. So they can see a brand, you know, our brand represented there. Right. So being two in partnerships.
That's great.
Next, I'm going to put two in customer.
Two in customers, yeah.
And this one, again, I really wanted to give it a little bit more, but you know, you have to make your decisions. And absolutely. For customer, where I really sit with this one is, especially in my role, you know, I am the one doing our customer storytelling. So from my role standpoint, that's where it comes into, but also the idea that, you know, budgets are still, you know, going down and getting cut. And, you know, we're still making hard decisions, I think, across industries and markets. And, you know, if you think about it, the easiest place to grow is through your customers and your existing customers.
Sure.
So if you slash that, you're making it a lot harder, right? I don't remember the stat exactly, but it's, you know, 10 times harder to acquire, you know, a new customer versus, you know, retain or expand a current customer.
Absolutely.
And I think especially with where our platform is going, where our software is going, we are going to just continue adding on more options and opportunities for our customers. And so that expansion play is going to be crucial with that pipeline. And again, some people might argue like, well, are we talking net new pipeline or all pipeline and, you know, down that road. But I think as it gets harder and harder to sell into orgs, especially as we go mid-market and enterprise as well, just focusing on customers is crucial.
Super helpful. Right. You still have 20 more pennies.
Yep. And they're both, I think this is not going to surprise anyone, they're going to go into events because we're an event-led organization. And that really is a pillar of our content strategy and our go-to-market strategy, obviously. Don't think there's much more I need to add there. We're an events platform. We're running events all the time. Come to Donuts in Demand.
You have to invest. This is great. I love your focused approach and very well thought out strategy of distributing the pennies. Now, let's take a look at the community. You know, this is how the community has decided to distribute their pennies, invest their pennies. And I'm going to overlay your investment on top of this chart. When you look at this chart where you see blue, which is community, against the orange, which is NCU for Goldcast, is there anything that jumps out or surprises you?
Let's see. I think it's really cool how you did this. So I love the adding it into the chart in the moment. That was really great. And also like might steal something like this for Donuts in Demand because this was a really fun experience. But as I'm looking at the results, I'm not necessarily surprised that sales-led is the number one because obviously a lot of your community is going to be in that mindset of sales, sales-led, sales first, being sales professionals themselves probably. I am surprised by how far it is above everything else. I would think it might have been a little bit more even keel or maybe like two or three would be even keel, but that sales is like way above everyone else. I'm really surprised partnerships are not higher up because usually partnerships and sales are really hand in hand. So the fact that, you know, partnerships is very low and even like on the same level as a few others, actually it's almost like the lowest. Oh no, it's second lowest. That's surprising to me.
Yeah. You know, partnerships actually don't work for a lot of companies. Although I'm seeing this shift more and more go-to-market leaders this year have been investing in partnership, you know, to the point where we are thinking of having a series just focus on partnership. So stay tuned on that. But your insight has been very, very insightful. Thank you so much, Lindsay, for joining us for this show. And I'm sure our community is going to get lots of nuggets from your insights and get lots of value. So thank you, Lindsay.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was great chatting, and hopefully I'll connect with some of you on LinkedIn too. Happy to chat and explore more, and come join an episode Donuts in Demand, and we can dive more into pipeline and generating revenue and all those fun things.
Thank you.